How do we stop them? We speak the name of, just say the name of Jesus, saints of God, and those that are not saints also. How do you stop any kind of thought? You put another thought in place of it. I like to say Jesus, and the devil started running. I just like to say Jesus, and those thoughts leave right then. You can count to 10, and those thoughts will leave you right then. Then what do? We learn how to counteract every thought Satan sends with the word of God. You know, if Satan says you're going to die, you told him no. You quote, I shall not die but live. That's the scripture that says that. I shall not die but live. You know, if Satan sends a thought to you and tells you something like this, I'm going to steal. I'm going to take something from somebody else. You just quote the scripture to him and say, thou shalt not steal. Satan knows what you're talking about. You might not know what you're talking about, but God knows what you're talking about.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual One Man Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we'd like to call you, Jesus.
71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1 as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of St. John, chapter 15. And I want to look at verse 25. That's the launching verse. Verse 25. St. John, chapter 15. And verse 25. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And now that you have it, I want you to begin reading now.
This comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written thereof. They hated me without cause.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. My brothers and sisters, there are so many ways we could tag this message, but I think what Jesus said is good enough. They hated me without a cause. For this text and this title both speak volumes when we begin to recognize and realize the kind of world we're living in, the kind of people we're dealing with. But one of the things that I think might shock you above all that I've just said is the fact that Jesus was talking about church people. He was not talking about the world. He was talking about the religious community. They were religious. They had their laws, their statutes. They had their principles, their precepts. But what they did not have was the love and the Spirit of God according to God's word. They were religious, but they were not righteous. And so as a result, they became indignant about anything and or anyone who would seem to interfere with the way that they had established law and that they had established society and the way that they had established their hierarchy. And Jesus knew that what they had done was more in self than in God. And so he deals with the spirit of hate, because it is the spirit of hate that'll make you hate somebody without a cause. You don't even have to know them. They don't have to have done you anything. They didn't have to say nothing about you. They didn't, do anything that would in any way try to demean you or nothing. If you've got a mean spirit, you'll just hate folk just because you're hateful. Amen. Let's back up to verse 18, and this is where he starts from verse 18 to verse 25. This is what he says, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus likens the church and all of their antics like the world. People who are supposed to be godly, who are minus the love of God, operating in the love of Satan, if there is such a thing. And that's usually of self and self-likeness. And so Jesus knew that those who were of God, those who walked like God, talked like God, worked like God wanted them to work, all of those who had anything to do with God would be hated by those who were of the children of the devil. Look, notice what he says in verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world, what? Hateth you. Now listen at this, because Jesus is saying, listen, you wouldn't have a problem if you were acting like them, talking like them, living like them, and doing like them, but because you are different from them, they hate you and despise you because you are different. You are different for a reason. You are a holy and peculiar people for a reason. God made it so that you would stand out. You are light in the midst of darkness. And I don't care where you go, as light, you're going to shine. It doesn't matter how much darkness it is, and it doesn't matter how little the light is. Wherever you are, you're going to shine. And folk who live in darkness don't like light. Matter of fact, Jesus said, men hate darkness. They'd rather darkness because their deeds were evil. That's why the freaks come out at night. Slipping into darkness. Don't act like you've been saved all your days. Come on, let me help you. Slipping in the darkness. Darkness provides a covering for your dirty deeds. And so because darkness gives you a covering, you will do things in the darkness that you won't do in the daylight. See, even though your deeds are dirty, you want folk to think they're not. So that's why you got to do them when it's dark and the cover of darkness has come upon you and you can slip and tip. Most folk do that at dark. The late Leon Jigger used to say, everybody that say good night ain't going home. Just because they tell you good night don't mean they're going to their houses. Yeah, but it's a proper time for them to do what they wanted to do. So Jesus understood their evil ways and the darkness of night that covered those ways. And he explains to them, if you were of the world would love its own. He would love Satan to have you out in the world. You know what? When you get saved, you know, it's just something about you. Your nature changed. Things about you changed. You know, you used to enjoy being out there all night, clubbing all night long, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and this, that, and the other, some even later. Matter of fact, you bragged on being able to be out all night, catch dinners or IHOP in the morning, and then come home at daybreak and sleep. What is that to brag on? Foolishness. Foolishness. But when you get saved, you'll find out that's not the attitude, that's not the actions, that's not the ambition, that's not the activities that you want to engage in. Matter of fact, when you get saved, you'll find out you get sleepy earlier. Man, I used to be able to stay up all night long, but now come when the sun go down, I'm trying to make it through a movie I'm watching. I'm trying to stay up to watch the news. And it just changes when your deeds are not evil. Am I talking to anybody in the house here? Yeah. All right. But then notice what he says, 20. Remember the word that I spake unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now listen to Jesus helping us to identify some of the activities of those around us so we don't get ourselves messed up and twisted up. Jesus says, listen, if they did it to the master, they'll do it to the servant. If they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. Don't think that you're above me. Because if the world hated me and did me wrong and you belong to me, what you think they're going to do to you? If they treated me wrong, lied on me, talked about me, stabbed me in the back, treated me as though I were a criminal, treated me as though I were not the Son of God, if they treated me the ways of the world, what makes you think they're not going to treat you the same way? Yes. And you're so shocked and surprised when the world treats you bad. They treat you bad because you are good. You belong to a good God. They can't do nothing about him, but they sure try to hurt you to see how you're going to respond. Then look at what he says in verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for what? For what? All these things that they do to you is not for you. It's for who you represent. It's for who you stand up for. It's for who you are on a mission for. It's for who you are an ambassador of. They will do all kinds of things to you, not because of you. They don't even know you. But it's who you represent that Satan has issues with. And so his imps and demons and angels and all of that, they charge against you because you're on the side of Jesus Christ. And he said, because they know not him who that sent me. They treat you bad because they really don't know. They're under assignment. They don't know the source. See, when folk talk about you, talk bad to you, cuss you out, treat you all any kind of way, it isn't because they really hate you. They don't even know you. But they're on assignment to try and get under your skin. Try and mess with you. See what you're made of. Now look at what verse 22 says. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. What does that mean? Jesus is saying, if I had not come from heaven, taken on the form of God, and was commissioned by God to bring the people of God back to God and lay down laws and gave them principles and standards by which to live, if I hadn't done that, they wouldn't have sinned. Because if there is no law, then there can be no transgression of the law. So that's what he means by, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. It means simply they would not have had the opportunity to sin, because that wouldn't have been anything they'd have been sinning against. He says, but now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, they have no covering for their sin. All of their sin is exposed before God. He sees every little thing we do. He hears every word we speak. He sees every place we go. He sees every word we tweet. He's connected to our Facebook page. He's got your Instagram before Instagram came out. That there's nothing that escapes God. So you can't hide from him. There is no cloak, no covering for your sin. Notice he's still dealing with hate. 23, he that hateth me hated my father also. Jesus said, I ain't got this thing twisted. I see the deal. I see the play. Satan hates me because he hated my father. And if he hated my father, he's going to hate my father's son. Because we are one. One. When he sees the son, he sees the father. When he sees the Father, he sees the Son. And so he can't, just like you can't, love the Father and hate the Son. You got to love both of them, or you're going to hate both of them. But don't think you're fooling any one of them. Then 24 says, if I had not done among them the things which none other man did, they had not had sin. There were 70 disciples that walked with Jesus, anointed them, gave them power. And one day he told them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Bible says they turned around. They said, it's a hard saying. They turned and walked no more with him. Now, because they changed their mind, don't mean God changed his. What God had deposited in them, they were still accountable for. they were still responsible for. You know, when people are like that, when the truth hurts and they don't want to deal with the church, they think if they get up and leave this church and go to another church, the truth's going to leave them. But if the preacher at the other church is preaching the truth, it's going to meet them when they get there. They're going to realize it wasn't me just saying those things. It's in the Word of God, and that was God saying those things through human personality. And they're going to discover that you can't run from the truth. You're either going to have to accept it or reject it. But the truth is the truth is the truth. And so he makes clear, he says, the things that I've done, they are witnesses to them. They can't discount them like they never happened. They can't act like they never witnessed them. They can't say they never seen blinded eyes open. They can't say that they didn't see thousands fed with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. They can't say that they didn't see water turned into wine. They can't say they didn't see the miracles and the anointed teaching here in their ear. Yes. But I've discovered when you don't tickle the ears of man and you give them things that God gives them that's us responsible and they're accountable for, They'd rather have somebody screaming and hollering and cutting up in the pulpit and not bringing solid word that they are able to practice, because they don't want to know what God wants them to know, because they've got to do it once they know it. Oh, this would be wonderful. We'd be jumping and hopping every Sunday. I get here and tell you, well, God's going to give you a new house. He's going to give you a new car. That promotion is on the way. Oh, money coming. Oh, blah, blah, this. Oh, no. Well, no. Ah, you know, we just, oh, yeah. But lest I be irresponsible and remiss at telling you, all of those things come with responsibility. I've got to tell you, you've got to tithe and pay your offering. I've got to tell you, you've got to sow seed in order for that to come back multiplied. I've got to tell you that God has principles in play that you've got to practice first. Want to go to heaven but don't want to die. You just want to leave here and walk around heaven. Skip the death. Well, if you wait long enough till Jesus come, you'll be able to do that. And so he says, if I had not done those things which none other man did, they had not had sin. In other words, they would not have had a reason to say, I've never seen this done, never heard this preached or taught. I don't know what's going on. They wouldn't have that, because they never would have heard or received or saw that. But they have. And he says they have both seen and what? Hated both me and my Father. They both seen and hated both me and my Father for doing right. But this coming to pass, verse 25, that was my introduction before now. Now I'm getting to my message. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Now, if it was written in that law, we need to find out where it was written so we can understand what Jesus is talking about. Go back to Psalm 69 and verse 4. Psalm 69 and 4 tells you that. But if you go back to Psalm 35 and 19, it gives you a glimpse of that. And both of them really had to do with those who were speaking of the time of Christ. And when they would hate Christ, not because Christ did anything wrong. They would hate Christ because Christ came in the image of his Father and in the power of his Father and came to save lost men and bring light to a dark world and do only that was good. He who knew no sin became sin in order to save every sinner. What does Psalm 69 and 4 say? Read.
They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies, wrongfully are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away.
Amen. While I was reading that, I have humorous moments with the Lord sometimes. And the word says, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs on my head. I said, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. But then I think about the pictures that depict Jesus and not only the amount of hair, but the long hair that Jesus had. And if you're saying your enemies are more than the hairs on your head, he's saying, I've got some enemies all around me who hate me, not because I've done something wrong. The hate is unjustified. There is no reason for the hate. I've given them no part of a reason to hate me. I've not done anything wrong to anyone. I've not tried to belittle anyone, to bring anyone down, to cast anyone down. My job has been to lift man up from the doldrums of life, to bring him out of darkness and into the marvelous light. I've come to hurt no one, and yet they hate me without a cause. I've experienced in this short life of mine, people that you've blessed, been there for, done things for, and when they got to where they were, and you no longer agreed with something they may have wanted to do that was out of the will of God or the word of God, and you step back and say, listen, if you're not going to change, we can't walk together, because the Bible say, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Then they turn and they hate you without a cause. You ain't put that business out on Straight Street. You didn't hang their name on every corner. You didn't tell all their secrets that you knew about and those that they didn't know you know about. You didn't do any of those things, but they hate you because their deeds are evil. And my brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus was saying about his own people. I came to my own, John 1 and 11. And my own received me not.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 9/11 Lobdell Boulevard,